a movie, a history like Ain't No Back. And what are you expecting to happen out of that? What's the coup de grace? Abby, you first.
Empathy and a change of perspective. I can't necessarily hope they're going to start a protest or a campaign in their school or their community, but I hope they have a different perspective and see history and people differently, and that they realize that everything you do matters and that what they do can matter. You know, when they learn that history and they learn those foot soldiers were kids or women or just your common ordinary person that did extraordinary things. And man, I just want them to change the sense of empathy and perspective and realize that they matter.
We'll discuss race and how it plays a factor and how we didn't even talk about this topic because we were afraid.
A Black Executive Perspective.
Another thought-provoking episode of a Black Executive Perspective podcast, a safe space where we discuss all matters regarding race, culture, and those uncomfortable topics people tend to avoid. I'm your host, Tony Tidbit.
And I'm your co-host, Chris P. Reed. Before we get started, we always like to remind you to check out our partners at Code M Magazine. Code M Magazine, whose mission is saving the Black family by first saving the Black man. Check them out, codemmagazine.com. That's two M's.
Yes, definitely check them out. And today we are joined by Abby Marcus, Executive Director, and Joan Grosjean-Waugh Thomas, Board President of Journeys to Change, which they call JTC Experience, a nonprofit curating powerful, immersive experiences connecting people to the history of the civil rights and labor rights movement. We're going to unpack why this work is urgent now more than ever. From walking tours in Harlem to conversations in Selma, JTC believes the power of place and storytelling transforms not just individuals, but communities as well. Through these experiences, people learn how history lives in our present and why action today is the continuation of struggles fought long ago.
Before we get deep into the episode, let me give a little background of our guest here. Abby Marcus is an educator, connector, and founder of JTC Experiences. Prior to launching JTC, she co-founded and served as executive director for J-Teen Leadership, where she had transformative programs focused on youth engagement and social justice. Throughout her career, including roles with the Worker Circle, the 92nd Street Y, the Jewish Education Project, and Westchester Jewish Community Services, just to name a few, Abby has created and led immersive journeys for teens and adults across the United States, all the way from Georgia and Alabama to Washington, D.C., Detroit, Charleston, and beyond. These experiences bring participants face-to-face with the living history of civil rights, connecting them with activists, leaders, and communities while inspiring service and reflection. Also, we have Joan Grosjean-Waugh Thomas. Joan is a seasoned communication consultant and founder of JGT Public Relations. She brings over 20 years of experience in public affairs, advocacy, and strategic communications. A former elected official with experience in the federal level, Joan has also facilitated anti-bias workshops for more than a decade now. Throughout her work with community groups, nonprofits, and individuals, she's helped amplify the voices and drive impact, leveraging communications as a tool for education, connection, and social change. Ladies, welcome to a Black Executive Perspective podcast.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be with you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. So before we get too deep into it, I'm going to start with you, Abby. Tell us a little bit about where you currently reside, where you were born or where you're from, and then maybe some tidbits about your family.
Okay. So I'm a Jewish Midwesterner from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Found myself at the University of Wisconsin-Madison as an undergrad, and I knew I wanted to go on to get a master's degree in education and counseling, and I wanted to experience a different part of the country, so I found myself at NYU, and after graduate school, my older sister made me go out with my husband on a blind date. I didn't want to go. She made me go, and here I am in New York with three adult children. Two dogs who were former guiding eye dogs, and I'm zooming to you from Briarcliff Manor, Westchester, New York.
All right, cool. Take your older sister to Vegas. She's a good predictor. All right. And Joan, tell us same thing. Tell us about where you were born, where you currently reside, and a little bit about your family.
Sure. When I was born, my family lived on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. So Avenue D and 8th Street, which is right along the East River, for those of you who are not familiar. And then, as many immigrants do, they strove, they worked hard, and then they bought a house in Queens, New York. Which is where I spent most of my formative years until I moved out on my own and moved to Bushwick, Brooklyn. And I lived there until my husband and I got married in 1988 and moved up to Port Chester, New York, which is where I currently reside, where we raised our two kids. And so that's where I'm from. And you know, my background, I've had a varied background. And so I came into human services, I would call it, you know, human services probably in early 2000. And that's when I really started to develop my communications practice, working with nonprofit organizations, and became more of an activist and an advocate from that point forward.
Awesome, ladies. Well, again, I echo Chris in terms of thank you guys for being here, looking to dive into your stories. Obviously, it's very important what you guys do. And you have a very busy life. You know, both of you guys have families. You both are working together at JTC. And the question I have for you is, why did you want to come on a Black Executive Perspective podcast to talk about this topic? Abby, I'll start with you first.
Because relationships mean everything. Getting our story out and sharing stories are so powerful. So this is an opportunity for us to share what we do and how we do it with a larger audience and people we wouldn't normally meet in our Westchester.
And Joan?
Well, I think, I would agree with Abby. I think we want more people to learn about what JTC Experiences does. And we are shining a light, particularly for me, because we're seeing history being erased before our eyes. And it is imperative that we get more people to understand that and to access it while we have it.
Well, listen, you guys came to the right spot. We really appreciate you guys investing the time. Seems like you guys are chomping at the bit to share today. So are you guys ready to talk about it?
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about it.
So, you know, let's start at the beginning. And how did, you know, you two Thelma and Louise types end up even realizing that each other existed and connected, as Abby said, on your passion for civil rights history of all things?
Yeah, so we met, Joan was running a program at Westchester Community Center about systemic racism in housing. And she brought in a speaker from the New York Times and I was invited as a guest. And I was just so moved by the way she presented the program, though the speaker was powerful and how she moderated it. And I had to meet her after the program and connect with her and found out we had so much in common. Maybe a year later, we both bumped into each other at an MLK celebration at the Calvary Baptist Church in White Plains and went out for dinner with some mutual friends and continued to find out we had similar passions and that we could bring our experiences and our relationships together to further the mission of Journeys to Change.
And you remember it the same way, Joan?
Joan, anything you want?
Yeah, I was going to say, you got the same recollection as Abby?
Yeah, absolutely have the same recollection. And the program that Abby was referring to was about the racism in home appraisals. And we know that that is a systemic issue around the country. And so it was wonderful to be able to talk with a reporter from the New York Times who had exposed this in one of her articles and had actually then been invited to the White House to launch a program to combat it. And so Abby and I have a friend in common who is the executive director of Nonprofit Westchester, Jan Fisher. And she alerted Abby to that program. And so, yeah, we ran into each other at Calvary Baptist Church. And in my background, I have done, as you mentioned in my bio, have done over 10 years of anti-bias work, training elementary schools and for teachers and staff in schools as well. And so I've really developed this interest in making sure that people understood what anti-bias looks like and how we combat it. And that's become part of my activism as well as my teaching in the community, particularly as it deals with our relationships, because there is a historic relationship between the Black and Jewish community. And so I started having conversations about that around the county.
Let me ask you this question, because you guys were involved, or you specifically, Joan, was involved in, Abby was interested in current inequities and current situations that dealt with what was going on at the time from a housing market perspective and things of that nature. How did this evolve into a historical perspective on civil rights?
Well, I think historically, that's where systemic racism starts, where you live. Where you live and where you live affects your health, where you go to school, okay, your nutrition. And so I think when you think of systemic racism, it starts with housing and how you can live and who your neighbors are. And it's just a basic foundation of it. So it was, for me, I learned so much from that program and realized it just made sense in putting all the pieces together. Historically, where people move and where they live and how they live really affects their entire lives.
And so how did you guys decide to work together? I'll go with you on this one, Joan. So, you know, tell us that first moment when you guys, you know, you met at the function that you had, Joan, with the New York Times reporter. Abby, you were there. So what sparked you guys?
Oh, no.
I guess we'll ask Abby on this. We'll ask Abby. What sparked you guys to start working together?
So when we had that dinner together with mutual friends, I was sharing with her some of the programming that I was working on, some of the immersive trips that I was doing, you know, and Joan mentioned earlier that that it's more important than ever because people are trying to erase our history. And what I found in my work is that once you take people to places and have them meet people, you can't unlearn that. There's no way to unlearn it. You can take it out of the curriculums in the school, but if you can take a group, a person, an adult, a student, a teenager, and take them to a place where history happened and let them hear an unfiltered narrative from somebody that experienced that history, it'll always be part of them. They'll take that story and make it part of them. And so as I was getting ready to do a trip, I think at the time it was Memphis, I believe. I don't know, Joan will have to help me correct the trip I was working on. I invited her to join me and to just see what we do, see the people that were on the trip, because there's no more powerful thing than being on a journey, you know. And so I think once she came on that journey, she was sold and she wanted to help me further my mission. Because we both come from different communities, I'm involved in the Jewish education community. She's really involved in the African-American community and politics in Westchester. We were able to bring people together. You know, as I said before, it's about relationships. So between the two of us, we could bring groups that wouldn't necessarily know or work together and found out we had so much in common, had similar passions. And also going on journeys, whether it's a walking tour or traveling, it helps you build relationships, and it's really fun. It's exciting to meet somebody you wouldn't necessarily meet, share a meal, hear a story, be in a place where you didn't know that there was history. So, I mean, I think that's how it started. I think it just took one of my programs for her to join me, and we realized that, you know, we had the same passions and could support each other.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Let me ask this. Did life just happen in this regard, or had you been looking for a Joan to kind of juxtapose or partner up with, because it seems almost kismet that you guys, you know, went to the same thing. And it's almost like a relationship, like a husband wife type relationship, where I happened to be there, I turned and she was eating the same carrot cake. And, you know, it's like one of those type of stories. Was it a situation where you were looking to partner up with a Joan type, or how did that play out?
So I wasn't specifically looking, but I you know, I'm keenly aware I'm a, you know, a Jewish woman, a white woman, and that I'm trying to tell stories that aren't necessarily my stories. So I'm always open to hearing and learning from other people in other communities. And I don't think of myself as a storyteller, but the guide to the stories. And I think when you're on a journey and you're on the right path, all the right people end up meeting each other. It's almost just like happens. You know, people with similar passions just come together. I don't want to say magically, but it does feel that way with Joan, that we just like, we're meant to connect with each other through what we're doing
That is awesome.
And her particular interest in the Jewish and the Black communities was really powerful also. It was a passion that I had too. And in the work I was doing, I was finding that that was drawing me more and more back to creating programming.
And Joan, well, thanks, Abby. And Joan, speak a little bit to that because, you know, obviously you're two different, you know, you came up in New York, in the city. Abby's out in Milwaukee. You guys meet by chance, but have similar passions and interests. You guys both believe in history and sharing and educating. So share with us a particular story that might stand out, that left a lasting impression on you during you and Abby working together.
Well, I have to really just repeat what Abby talked about, right? When the universe makes it happen, the universe makes it so. And it just seemed so synchronicity that we should come across each other when we did. I had been invited to give talks at a couple of different synagogues in and around Westchester. And I really wanted to explore this idea of this relationship, understanding the times that we're in, and realizing that there seems to be in recent years a bit of a separation, a bit of a stress test between these two communities. And it really was just something that spoke to me. And I saw that working with, at the time, Journeys to Change and now JTC, that could be an opportunity for me personally, but also in relation to what I thought we needed as a community. I mean, the broader community, right? Not just Westchester or Portchester, but what we needed in the community to sort of heal wounds that have been, you know, that have been there for many years now, and only seem to, you know, grow as time goes and these conditions continue to deteriorate. So it was really, so it seemed like, wow, get out of my head. You know, I was just thinking about this and how wonderful it would be if we could work together and somehow move this mission forward together.
And not only were we both passionate about it, but it was really enjoyable to build a relationship.
Yeah, that too. I'm always happy to see
friends. That's the key, right? Especially if people enjoy it and there's a connection. You know, Abby, one of the things that we chatted about, the way I met you was through Alana Trotchman, right? Who was the director and producer of the movie, Ain't No Back to a Merry-Go-Round, right? And you talked about Hank Thomas, who was a part of that, interracial civil rights protest back in the early 60s, how he was a friend of yours. And I remember in that documentary, Hank talks about at the end when he goes to the school, I believe it's down in Atlanta, and he states that, you know, Jewish people were very instrumental in terms of helping, number one, the protest for the amusement park. And he talked about how Jewish people and Black people have been allies, right? However, to Joan's point, that's kind of like got washed under the rug lately, right? In terms of our communities have come together and worked together. So talk a little bit about that in terms of, you know, you and Joan partnering together. And then really trying to, in terms of your efforts, showcasing that this is a partnership or two communities can come and work together. And more importantly, have the same interests in terms of making sure that civil rights history still stays alive.
It's time to rethink your protein. Agrilab's protein bars are crafted with high quality protein, double the leucine, and enriched branched chain amino acids, essential for optimal muscle recovery. Finally, a protein bar that works as hard as you do. So visit agrilabs.com and use the code BEP to get 20% off. That's agrilabs.com, promo code BEP.
Well, I have to say, I've led so many civil and human rights trips over the years, but the most powerful one I did was when I partnered with a synagogue and a Black Baptist church. And I took two groups together. on a bus, and I said to Reverend T, the Reverend of Calvary Baptist Church, we got to do some icebreakers and bring people together. And he said, relax, Abby, it's going to happen naturally just through the experience and through the journey. And magically it did through those shared experiences and being in those locations and meeting people. By the end of the trip, people were all mixed up in seats. And I can say that to this day, this was like 8 years ago, those two groups are still friends. There are people that became best friends that never even would have noticed each other at the grocery store. They all lived in White Plains, never would have noticed each other. And now they're involved in each other's lives. I had everybody call me Captain Abby on that trip, just as a joke, because I said, I'm the captain of the bus. And so I'm walking through Grand Central Station one day, and I hear someone yelling, Captain Abby, Captain Abby. And it was one of the women from the Calvary Baptist Church. She said, I had to stop you because I have to tell you that trip has changed my life. I'm still friends with Rachel. I'll never forget all the stories we met and the people. And I'm more aware now of the history, even though it's my history, I wasn't as aware of it until I went on that trip. So I would say that those trips are the most important, the most powerful. And Joan and I can bring our colleagues, our friends, our families together, whether it's for a film or a workshop or a trip, and it becomes really, really powerful because the learning happens together and it happens naturally. You know, like Reverend T said, let it happen. Don't force the groups to be together. It will happen or it won't. And in my case, it worked. It was beautiful.
Let me ask a question because, and Joan, I'll toss this up to you. We just recently did an episode on the 58th anniversary of the Loving. Was it 58 or how many years of this, Tony?
58
years of the Loving. And so I believe, and I can stand corrected by our audience, you guys may be the first interracial leaders, you know, co-founders and leaders that we've ever had on the show. And in the idea of all the positivity and all the great things that you guys have tried to accomplish and want to accomplish, has there been any negatives or setbacks based on the fact that a white woman and a black woman are trying to do, but the fact that you're women, obviously the world is not ready for, you know, boss women in that regard. But the fact that you guys are interracial leadership couple, is that come with any struggles or is that a benefit to you at this point, Joan?
So there have been no struggles, outward struggles that I've experienced in the time that I've worked with Abby or with Journeys to Change. I think what's been beneficial is us sort of checking each other, right? Okay. So whether it's in the use of, whether it's, you know, language or perception, you know, Abby can ask me, oh, Joan, you know, I is this correct? Is this how I should, you know, refer to something? And Abby will check me as well in terms of, you know, when we're scheduling something so that we are being considerate of different religious traditions, right? Faith traditions. And when we schedule different events and things like that. So I think it's, you know, it's teaching me and hopefully Abby also is learning something by working with me and being able for me to, you know, share my point of view with her that, you know, can only improve us as better humans and as better partners in this work.
You know, you guys have great chemistry together. You can feel it on the screen, right? 100%. Let's talk about some of the magic that you guys make together. Tell us a little bit, Joan, I'll back up to you on this. Tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing at JTC and how you're able to not remind people, but really share the history of civil rights, right? And talk about the effect as well that it's having.
So I'm going to use Ain't No Back to a Merry-Go-Round because that was a really big project for us to work together on that we took from scratch, right, and built this event. And so the magic, again, was about us each being able to use our networks in order to, you know, reach folks to come to see the event. Again, there were things that Abby hadn't considered. There were things that I hadn't considered.
And we were able to bring together really a very lovely, diverse group of people who wanted to, you know, to see this film. And the vibe that was created was very open and comfortable. People felt safe to be able to ask their questions and to explore further, you know, about the film and what it meant. And so I think for me, that was a real magic moment. And we have continued to work with the film director to see how we can contribute to that. And Abby, I don't know if you want to
speak to
that.
Right, I would just add to that, that the film director, Alana Trachman, told us afterwards, those were the most, I've shown the film in over 60 events, and we did two events for her, one at a high school and one at a community college. She said both of those events were the most diverse, thoughtful, exciting showings I've done. And what we did was we built partnerships from both of our networks. We created panels that Joan moderated brilliantly after the movie, which represented different parts of the community, and we let people ask those unfiltered questions. And it was magical.
And then what, let me ask you this, what did you feel that people got out of it, right? Because here's the thing, you know, you, and I'm just going by what you guys just got finished saying, right? You worked your network, Joan worked her network, okay? And then, so in other words, if I had to, you know, do code words, is that Joan invited the Black people, you invited the Jewish people.
Yes.
Okay. And, I don't want to say 100%, right. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But net, these people came together, okay? And they all sat to watch something, to be fair, that happened, you know, 60-something years ago, okay, where Jewish people and Black people came together to protest together, right? So what did they get? So let me ask you this. What was your expectations of bringing them together? And then what did they, what was the feedback after from the groups that came together to watch this history that you guys
right.
shared with
it's
them?
It's so funny you ask, because feedback surveys, feedback reflection is really important to us. So we started to experiment with some, you know, digital surveys. And one of the things we learned that even the people from the Black community didn't know this history. And they said in the comments, I grew up in the Civil Rights Movement. I didn't know anything about, and I grew up near Glen Echo Park. I didn't know anything about it. And the Jewish people said, I didn't know we work so closely with the Black community. And we asked in the survey question, what are you motivated to do as a result of seeing this movie and being part and listening to the panel? And some of them said, I'm ready to go work on voters' rights. I'm ready. I want to learn more. Other people said, I want to tell this story and have other people see this film. So, I mean, it varies, and we have to do a better job of getting feedback. But we know just anecdotally that it can affect people in different ways, even things we won't even know about for some time, the impact.
And if I can add to that, I think what it also does is that it told people about JTC that they can go back when they see another event that we do, that they're going to want to come back and participate again, right? So we are beginning right. to build a reputation and an awareness by people that when JTC holds an event, you might want to pay attention because you're going to learn, right? You're going to learn something today.
Right.
And that could, you know, the best possible outcome is that people want to come back and take advantage of another immersive event and experience
right.
with us.
And although we're really, we want to educate anybody, adults need to be educated just as much as teens. Our mm-hmm. focus, our passion, our mission is really young people. And so at both events, we right. made sure that we did outreach to college students, to high school students. And on both panels in New Rochelle, we had high school students. At the SUNY Purchase Community College, we had a current student activist. So we want to make that connection between past to present. Otherwise, you know, you can learn the history, but then what? What are you going to do with it? How are you going to connect right. it to now? And so we're working on making that stronger.
That was going to be my question, because you said something about a high school. You said the two places that you previewed the movie the film. And when you said high school, I was thinking high school, what does this have to do with the youth? But any idea of reaching the youth and it not being really age descript, Do you find that you get different feedback? Or because obviously a lot of the feedback is, I grew up this way and I grew up at this time and I didn't realize this. Well, the kids don't know nothing because that's all being, you know, whitewashed and taken out. So in the idea of you combating misinformation, is that a difficult aspect of what you guys provide, even though you have the verbatims or the on hand testimonies? Is it hard in the age of disinformation in what you guys do?
It's tricky, but it's how you frame it and how you present it. So in the work that we do, when we're looking for stories, anybody could be part of history, but not be good at telling that history. So we look for people that are good storytellers and people that were young when they had those experiences. So they can say, I was 10 years old when I marched on that Edmund Pettus Bridge on Bloody Sunday. Or I, you know, was 16 years old when I went to Kelly Ingram Park in Birmingham for the Children's Mission. So that if there are 16-year-olds or even younger kids in the audience, they can say, wow, they were just 10 or 16. Look what they did. And they made a difference. And so I think what we try to highlight is that the heroes of the civil rights movement were children and everyday people. And so we're very careful about who we choose to tell the stories and how they tell it and what format. There has to be an opportunity to do something with it, to process it, and to ask questions and interact. And so we kind of have a secret sauce, a formula for when we create a program or an experience that allows for processing.
When you talk about secret sauce, talk a little bit about, and I'll throw this to you, Joan, talk about some of the newer experiences that you guys are developing, right? To help continue to expand from a civil rights and labor history.
Well, one of the things that that we've started it just over the past several months is a book club, a book discussion. And one of our board members is leading that effort up in Austining. And to really good effect, because I think folks are using books as an entry point, right? Again, it's information that is lesser known. And then there's also a really robust discussion that comes behind the books that they read. And so that's one thing that we are going to do. And then another approach, we're going to take our Zoom events, right? Because people can't always get to wherever an event is happening. Another approach we're going to take is to establish a series of Zoom events where we can bring folks to you, in the comfort of your home, where we can continue to have these immersive conversations and discussions. And I think it's really critically important that we connect past and present, right? So that folks can see that this stuff isn't new. What's happening now isn't new. And to create that bridge to the past so that people can begin connecting the dots and hopefully finding a way forward from there.
What is so based on that though, right? Because you said something in the beginning, you just said it right here, right? Is that history is being erased. Yeah. Okay. And they're banning books and we can go on in terms, and they're not doing this indiscriminately. They're not doing this at night when people sleeping, they're doing this right in your face and they're telling you they're doing it. Right. So what is the appetite for people in terms of really wanting to learn history or versus I ain't got time for that? Because, you know, growing up as a kid, I was all about history. I wanted to learn everything that I could learn. Right. So I want to get a sense because it reminds me. Me and Chris was talking about this. It was this movie I saw. I don't know if you ever saw this, Joan or Abby. Jason Lyrics. Jason Lyric. Yeah. So towards the end of the movie, when he was supposed to run off with his girlfriend, he was going to catch the train. And then he came and said, hey, I can't go. I got to stay and help my brother and my mother. And his girlfriend said, you know, I don't understand. You're trying to save a person that doesn't want to be saved. Okay. So in other words, how much appetite is there for people to really dive into history and learn their history, or they don't want to, and we know how important it is, but in their mindset, I don't need to know this because what does that mean? So that's what I want to get a sense of. What are you finding? And I'll start with Joan, then I want to hear from you, Abby.
So I think that there is an appetite. I think people just don't know where to find it. And that is what JTC is going to try to do, right, is to make this available so that people can find it and access it. And, you know, so we're on Instagram. We're going to have a social media presence because that's where folks are. And we want to be able to reach them where they are and let them know that this is available to them. You know, you can lead a horse to water, as they say, right? But you can't make
it working, but that's it.
Right. And so a lot of this obviously is self-directed. But I think that the type of programming that we're going to create is going to be very attractive to folks to want to be able to be a part of it.
Abby, yeah, any thoughts? I mean, anything else?
If I could, I would take everybody in this country to Montgomery, Alabama, and have them experience the three EJI sites, the Legacy Museum, the Sculpture Garden, and the National Memorial for Peace and Justice. But if I can't do that, and my goal is to raise funds so I can take people that wouldn't be able to go otherwise down there, because there's something powerful about that journey and being in that place. But if I can't, I want to bring the stories to them here or wherever they are. And whatever they take, if they can just change one thing, you know, if they just learn something they didn't know before, or change their perspective, or are open to learning more, then we feel we've done something. And again, we may or may not know if that happens, but we try to make it really attractive. And our goal is to make it accessible to everyone.
Let me ask you this. What's the goal? The goal is to put history in front of them so they can understand and they can hear about some stuff that they may not know about. But after that, what are you expecting to happen? Okay. Once you put them in these places, social media, virtual, in person, and then you share a movie, a history like Ain't No Back. And what are you expecting to happen out of that? What's the coup de grace? Abby, you first.
Empathy and a change of perspective. I can't necessarily hope they're going to start a protest or a campaign in their school or their community, but I hope they have a different perspective and see history and people differently, and that they realize that everything you do matters and that what they do can matter. You know, when they learn that history and they learn those foot soldiers were kids or women or just your common ordinary person that did extraordinary things. And man, I just want them to change the sense of empathy and perspective and realize that they matter.
I love it. Joan, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, absolutely. On top of that, it's like we can each take a step in our own communities, right, to start to combat some of this. So oftentimes I will suggest to people, well, look at your own social circle, right? Who do you socialize with and who's not there? And start thinking about it from that perspective. Learn about the housing policy in your community. Learn about the governance laws of your co-op. Find the ways in which what you are partaking in might be excluding people and perpetuating stereotypes or, you know, perspectives that are not helpful and maybe discriminatory, right? We each can do one small thing in our own little ways to figure out how we can break the cycle. And that's what I would hope people would, you know, come away with. What's the one thing that I can do?
My question to you in this regard is, I just had a speech that I provided to a series of leaders, and I talked about the difference or the nuance between data and the interpretation of data. And so although you guys have the history, you have the record, you have the testimony, how do you make it relevant to these younger folks or this new generation so they can see where the lines connect? Because a lot of times you think that was then and they were hippies and all this other stuff, and you don't see where you fall into that or how their history is repeating itself. That's the first part. But my next thing is, and you kind of inspired this, Joan, you're talking or presenting this to folks who may have an ignorance is bliss type of perspective, because as we learned from the George Floyd situation, a lot of our counterparts were absolutely ignorant and had no idea that these laws were in place or these protocols or this systemic dynamic was in place. and felt, and good, bad, or indifferent, they felt bad. And that's why the over-rotation of, we're just going to erase it all and act like everything was great, because some people felt bad on the back end. So how do you adjust to that, and how do you deal with that, Joan?
Well, that's a great question, and I don't know that I can say exactly how we can deal with it. But again, it's all about what we are providing, what programming we would provide, right? So just before we came on, Abby and I were brainstorming and talking about different virtual programs or other types of events that we could approach, topics, right? And we talked about incarceration, and we talked about mass incarceration and the criminal justice system, right? That directly impacts and affects people today, right? So let's talk about that today, and then let's connect the dots to how it all started, right?
The
men who went out to retrieve the slaves that ran away. That was the beginning of our modern police department.
Correct. The slave patrols.
Or the new Jim Crow from, Jim Crow to incarceration.
Correct.
Also, so yeah. Go ahead, Joan. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Abby. Go ahead.
I'm going to say we can't always do it. So, we try to make the connection either through processing or discussion. But when we do an immersive trip, we are really mindful of the people that we have our groups meet. So we make sure not only are they meeting people that were involved in civil rights history, but people who are activists today. So in Montgomery, we work with Michelle Browder, who is an artivist. She uses art as a form of current activism. When we were in Memphis, we met with people that were building housing for transgender people of color who are homeless. We always try to look at people who are doing the work now. We met with a voting rights activist now. So we hear the stories, but we hear the people that are doing the work now, and then they can actually connect it themselves. You know, we lay it out for them. But we're always looking for current activism as well.
History has always been important, okay? However, I never thought I would live in a time where history is being erased, is being attacked, as Chris was saying earlier. I would never think that. I would never even, because history is all how we learn. Right. And we try not to repeat the things of the past. But more importantly, it's like all of us have families. We have a history. And if one day somebody tried to erase our family's history, that basically means that we don't exist outside of where we are in the present. So talk a little bit about why what you guys are doing today. And I probably just gave you a little a diving board to dive off in. But why is it? Because you guys have been around. We all been around for a long period of time. OK, and we know history. And so why is today so imperative to really for both of you guys to be as passionate as you are? Why today is it so important that you guys get this message out, that you guys develop programs, that you guys, like you said, Abby, we need to go to they need to go to Montgomery, or they need to go here, or the little nuances of history that none of us know about. A lot of us don't, like the thing in Glen Echo or the Peekskill riots. And why is that so important today? Joan, kick it off.
Oh, boy. Okay. Because we can't stop doing this work, right? And if we don't do it, who will? So for me, it's always, I may be, the leader of this, but I have to do the work as much as anybody else does. And I have this, this just sense of hope that let's just keep at it. Because if we can change, if one person comes away from one of our events or experiences changed, inspired, then, hopefully that net will be cast even wider. And they're going to want to make some change as well. And they're going to want to do something as well. So for me, it's just, I am the perpetual optimist. And I recognize that I'm on this planet for a reason, and I'm going to keep at it for as long as I have breath. right? You don't try to, you know, talk me out of this. I think that this is just a calling that, you know, and now that I'm, you know, working with Abby, I'm blessed and thrilled that I have an opportunity to, you know, to have a vehicle in which I can try to just keep bringing folks back into the fold and understand how important it is, how important to make sure that you're the one that's telling your story. Don't let anyone else tell your story and understand your history and where you come from. It's not just, you know, it didn't start with slavery for Black folk, right? Mm-hmm. It started a long time ago and a long time before that. And so hopefully that will engender folks to want to do that research, to want to find out more, regardless of what it is that they find.
Yeah, I would add to that that we've learned from history that ordinary people can do extraordinary things, that history was changed by the ordinary person. And guess what? There are ordinary people doing it again today. And so if we remind people, look at what people did in the past, and we also highlight people that are doing the work now, we can inspire people to take action. And I know Joan spends a lot of time talking about sometimes we take people to uncomfortable places. You know, they see and they learn uncomfortable history and they hear really uncomfortable stories, but we believe that that's where the change and the growth takes place, in that discomfort. So we're not going to shy around. We're not going to shy away from it. You know, and it means being honest about the history too. So I'll be honest, like Alana Trachman, she made sure that you knew that Glen Echo Park was owned by Jewish business owners. And when we travel, there's two sides of history, you know, and sometimes people are on the wrong and sometimes they're on the right. And I'm not going to pick or choose. I'm going to tell them the history as it is. And again, it might make them uncomfortable. So there's growth in being uncomfortable, and relationships and meeting and connecting with other people is everything.
If you like what you hear and want to join us on this journey of making uncomfortable conversations comfortable, please subscribe to a Black Executive Perspective podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hit subscribe now to stay connected for more episodes that challenge, inspire, and lead the change.
Throughout history, especially American history, there has been a fear of reliving the history through the eyes of the victim or through the eyes of the perpetrator. And so any idea of erasing it totally is a way to absolve whatever happened, but we lose so much when we try to do that. My question to you guys is, in your journey so far, as you've picked up different nuggets and learned and heard these stories, is there any triumphant story that sticks out to you besides the Ain't No Back documentary? Are there any other small triumphant stories that have stuck with your spirit that you would like to share with us on this platform?
I did this trip last year with a very privileged group of members from Jewish congregation in Westchester, and they were very professional, lawyers, doctors, you know, teachers. And I took them to Selma, and they were really uncomfortable in Selma. Selma is one of the poorest cities in our country that gave us voting rights. And my guide there, Joanne Bland, who was one of the youngest people to march on Bloody Sunday and be part of that campaign, she showed them. She took us to all these uncomfortable places in Selma. And then when we got back, there was a gentleman who hadn't told me what his profession was, came up to me and said, "Abby, that was so powerful. I was so uncomfortable. But I'm a judge back in Westchester. And this has really changed my perspective on the work I do as a judge." He works on the local state Westchester Supreme Court. And so I feel like, wow, if it can change how he thinks when he's, you know, ruling on things that affect people, I'm happy as could be, you know. In addition, I have minor anecdotes where kids have gone on, you know, to teach history or decide to take on law because they were so moved and affected by some of the journeys they've been on.
Yeah.
Joan?
Yeah. So I don't know that I have, as you know, I haven't collected as many stories certainly as Abby has, but I remember when she shared that story with us, and it was just so, you know, one of those moments that takes your breath away, right? because we don't always hear the results of someone's experience. And when you are able to hear the results of someone's experience, it makes it all worthwhile. And it just keeps you motivated to keep doing it.
I love it. So listen, for the people who are listening or watching right now who want to get involved and don't know where to start, what type of advice would you give them? Joan, I'll start with you.
Well, again, it can start right in your own backyard. Understand what's going on in your community. Why don't, go to your school district and find out what's on the reading list, right? The summer reading list for schools, and see what books are not there, and see what books are there. Again, your co-op, find out what the governance rules are in your co-op. Is it excluding people? Is it written in a way that, is not welcoming? And talk to people, right? Talk to your family and friends. Have those conversations. Push yourself to have those conversations just to sort of figure out, what other people are thinking and feeling.
I love it. Abby, anything you want to add to that?
Just learn to be a good listener and listen to other people's stories, and also know that there's history all around you. So interesting, we can go to Montgomery, Selma, and Birmingham, but when we come back, we find out, wow, Rye Playground was segregated at one time, or there was a riot up in Peekskill, after a civil rights concert. Or there's history everywhere, and there are people that were part of it. Again, ordinary people. So learn to listen, look, and hear, and take those stories in.
That's very, very, very powerful. Let me ask both of you, and I can stick with you, Abby, since you were last to speak. How can a Black Executive Perspective podcast help, JTC?
So
how can we help?
Oh, thank you for that question. First of all, you can sign up on our website.
Okay.
Journeys2change.org to get our news bulletin. And maybe if you're local, you can join us for a local walking tour or an upcoming film event. We're going to be doing a film event on how to sue the Klan. We're doing a walking tour in Harlem. So you could certainly sign up and find out what our current events are. You could, if you're interested in starting a book club, a social justice book club in your community, contact them. No better coach than Joan, to show you how to set that up in your community. And we hope to have a virtual series set up soon that you can also subscribe to. And of course, any donation is always appreciated.
Anything you want to add, Joan?
Well, I was going to say, certainly visit our website and see all of the wonderful things that are coming down the pike. We're also planning a tour of an African-American cemetery in the city of Rye in the fall. And that should be an amazing experience. It was a forgotten piece of property that sits along the I-95 highway, and it was forgotten for decades. And then a group of people came together, and they came together to clean it up, clean off the headstones. And the gentleman who was the steward of that, which in all full transparency happens to be my husband, David, has uncovered some amazing stories. And to Abby's point, these were ordinary people. This particular cemetery was segregated specifically for the Black people in the area to bury their dead. And we have veterans from the Civil War through the Korean War that are buried there. And the stories of these folks are just phenomenal. But they were just regular, ordinary people trying to live their life in a very difficult environment. And so, I would encourage folks to visit our website, to keep up with us, and to sign up for our newsletter so that they can, be informed immediately when these events are confirmed.
Wow. Well, I can tell you this. Number one, we're going to definitely make sure your website and stuff is on our website, right? We want to share and we'll continue to push. We want you guys to come back and share more of your experiences and stories. So you have two brothers here that is part of believes in what you guys are doing. And obviously we're all trying to do the same thing. But more importantly, when you talked about ordinary people that can make a huge difference, Chris and I are looking at two right now. okay, is that you guys, with your passion and your love for your fellow human being and understanding where we are today as a society, and you guys are willing to do what you're doing to help educate, more importantly, bring us all together. And not only not that you're not doing that, that's just something that you're trying to do. You're actually doing it, right? So we applaud you. We have you guys' back. We ask that everybody checks out JTC, go to their website, learn more, check out the different type of programs or events that they're having. Get your kids involved, because these things are very important. And I think what you said is really the key too. It's really about helping change a perspective, because a lot of times we all live in our own heads or in our own environments or our own geographical areas. And just to be able to tap into people that you don't know and people to hear their stories can change your perspective, which can eventually help change how you deal with people. So you being an ordinary citizen now can do something extraordinary for just the fellow human being by understanding history that's going on. So I applaud Joan and Abby of JTC. We're so excited, and thank you for coming on a Black Executive Perspective podcast. We need more people like you in the world, and we know there's other people doing their things. And look, we want you to come on a Black Executive Perspective podcast. Tell us about it too. All right. But we want to thank you. And again, we love you guys a lot, and we'll be chatting with you guys soon.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. It was wonderful talking with you.
Awesome. So I think it's now time for
Tony's Tidbit.
All right. And the tidbit today: change doesn't live in history books. It lives in the footsteps of ordinary people who choose to stand where history was made, listen to the stories carried by those spaces, and carry their lessons forward. The most powerful movements weren't led by fame. They were built by people who showed up, believed change was possible, and understood that progress depends on action, not recognition. And you heard a lot of that from our friends at JTC.
Absolutely. So we want to remind you not to miss this week's episode of Need to Know with Dr. Nasinga Burton on a Black Executive Perspective podcast, where Dr. Burton dives into timely and crucial topics that shape our community each week, and she brings a plethora of experience, knowledge, and passion to the platform. Make sure you tune in. You do not want to miss it.
Absolutely. You do not want to miss the next episode of our Pull Up, Speak Up Roundtable, where bold, unfiltered voices tackle today's most provocative issues, sharp perspectives, real talk, call to action. It's not just an episode, it's a revolution. So tune in to the next Pull Up, Speak Up here on a Black Executive Perspective podcast.
And then also, we'd be remiss if we didn't remind you to incorporate our call to action. Our goal here is to eliminate all forms of discrimination. And to achieve this, we're asking everyone to embrace LESS. The L stands for learn. Educate yourself on racial and cultural nuances. And I learned today that regular, ordinary people put forth the effort for their community to make things better. And we can do that still now as we did back in the past.
Absolutely. And then after you learn, you have the letter E, which stands for empathy. Now, since you've learned, now since you've enlightened, now you can be more empathetic to your friends and colleagues, because now you can put yourself in their shoes.
The first S stands for share. Share your insights and enlighten others. Don't hide it, divide it. Reach out to those people who are in your life. And it doesn't always take a level of serendipity like with Abby and Joan, but just make sure that you're receptive to growing.
Absolutely. And then the final S stands for stop. We want to stop discrimination as it walks in your path. So if Aunt Jenny or Uncle Joe says something that's inappropriate at the Sunday dinner table, you say, Aunt Jenny, Uncle Joe, we don't believe that. We don't say that. And you stop it right there. So if everyone can incorporate less, LESS, we'll build a more fair, more understanding world. And we all will see the change that we want to see, because less will become more.
This was a very powerful and poignant episode that's very timely and crucial to what we're going through now. Make sure you tune in to our previous episodes on the platform. Look forward to future episodes. Check us out live where you're ready to get your fingers together to comment, and we'll work with you real time. And it's a powerful, interesting dynamic. You don't want to miss that either. Be on the lookout for that. But how do you find out when we're going to be doing that? Go to the website, sign up for the newsletter. Make sure you review us and give us topics that you'd like to hear about. Subscribe wherever you're listening. And where can they find us, Tony?
My friend, you can find the Black Executive Perspective podcast on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can follow us on our socials of X, LinkedIn, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, at a Black Exec. For our fabulous guests, Joan G. Thomas, Abby Marcus of JTC. For my co-host with the most, my boy down in Dallas, Chris P. Reed. I'm Tony Tidbit. We talked about it. We learned about it. There was a lot of love about it. We're going to continue to strive about it, and we're going to thrive about it. We love you, and guess what? We're out.
A Black Executive Perspective.